You're listening to The Lead, a podcast where we learn how to get ahead in the media industry from the people that did. I'm Daniel Funky. Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Lead. After a little hiatus over winter break, we're back with Season 2, which will have even more great interviews with cool people in the media industry. If you haven't listened to Season 1 yet, you definitely should. It even has its own album on SoundCloud. For our more seasoned listeners, we have an awesome guest today who I know will inspire you. But first, a word from our sponsor. This podcast was created by the Cox Institute for Journalism Innovation, Management, and Leadership as part of its Innovation Fellowship Program. To learn more, go to grady.uga.edu/Cox Institute. Today on the show, we have Richard Griffiths, Vice President and Senior Editorial Director at CNN. Richard is serving as an industry fellow with the Cox Institute this semester, a role in which he'll guest lecture classes in the Grady College. He has a lot of great insight about how to adapt to the ever-changing media landscape, as well as the qualities that every high-impact piece of journalism has. Here's our conversation. Hey, Richard, how's it going?
It's going great. I've just got out of teaching a couple of classes here, and I'm pretty invigorated.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. We really appreciate your time. And it was recently announced that you'll serve as an industry fellow with the Cox Institute this semester. So I just wanted to know, what are you most excited about working for Grady students and also just in the Cox Institute in general?
Well, part of what I'm happy about being able to do is share my experiences of what is now just about 42, 43 years of journalism, and sharing all the mistakes I've made so the students won't make the same ones when they get out of school and, in fact, can go on to make their own mistakes. That's what I'm kind of into, is sharing my experiences so that people can learn from what I have had to learn the hard way.
One of your goals as an industry fellow at the Cox Institute is to kind of expose common problems or mistakes that journalists could make in the field and teach young journalists not to make those same mistakes. What are a few of the common ones that you really want to get across and make sure that soon-to-be journalists and college graduates don't make in the future?
Well, one of the biggest ones, and one that I made early in my career, is you don't want to sound dumb. You don't want to sound stupid when you're interviewing somebody. So you ask questions by doing long leading questions that show how smart you are and how much you understand every nuance of the story. And you get a yes, exactly. And you don't actually learn anything from the answers you get. And sometimes being professionally slow, not asking the questions in such a way that it appears that you know everything, is the hardest thing for people to understand. It's the, gee whiz, I don't get this, can you explain this to me question, is the one that actually gets you the news.
Over the course of your career, you've won several awards for the work you've done, including multiple Peabodys and even a couple Emmys. So what do you think all great reporting, and especially investigative reporting, projects must have in order to reach that kind of caliber?
Well, you've got to be able to make a difference. The reporting has to make a difference. When you set out early on in your career, you think about going to cover the county commissioners. And people roll their eyes, well, you're going to cover the county commissioners, another meeting about economic development or another meeting about highway widening or another meeting about homelessness or another meeting about the water system. The fact is, those issues are absolutely vital to the communities in which you're reporting. And if you write those stories and report those stories in a way that is engaging and explain what's going on, it allows people to make the best decisions. Well, investigative journalism is not unlike that. You're covering not only perhaps the intricacies of government, but you're also looking into things that have been forgotten or misunderstood or covered up by institutions. And you're showcasing a problem in a way that gets people's attention. So the relevance really comes from where you as a journalist are making a difference in exposing a problem and pointing out the need for that problem to be handled differently, either by government action or by holding people accountable, perhaps by bringing criminal charges if it's a scam. It is pointing out that the emperor has no clothes and it's about time something was done about it.
You're retiring from your position at CNN at the end of February. So looking back, what are some of the most memorable things that happened to you during your long career there? And what are some of the things that stood out the most to you?
Well, I actually gave a little bit of a lecture about this earlier, so some of the answers are pretty easy. I was inspired into my journalism career by looking and watching what happened with Watergate and how Carl Bernstein and Bob Woodward broke the story of Watergate and really chipped away at it, chipped away at it, chipped away at it with lots and lots of incremental reporting. And in doing that, they exposed a monumental scandal that ultimately required a president to resign. It was an extraordinary time in American history, and the role of journalism in that was very, very important for our society, our culture. But for me, as a young immigrant come to America, it was mind-boggling. And I was inspired by that to go into journalism. So that was the trigger for that. And it got me really interested in investigative journalism. And through my career, I've dabbled in that in lots of different things, starting off in local news and then later at network news, particularly at CNN. And so some of the most rewarding stuff has involved investigative journalism over my career at CNN.
Before you worked at CNN, you worked for CBS News. So you've pretty much been in the broadcast industry for a lot of your career. How have you seen it change over the years, and where do you see it going in the next couple of years?
Well, when I started off in news, news was a loss leader. It was a way for the local station to be able to keep its license to broadcast. It was the transaction between the public and the license holder for the ability to make money. We'll let you make a lot of money, but in return, you have to do good for the community, and that is do the news. And you have to cover stories that are in the public interest. Somebody at some point figured out that not only could they do that, but they could also make a lot of money doing it. Nothing wrong with making money. But it changed the equation a little bit. And when news had to make money, or could make money, it had to make money. And it changed the dynamic completely in the broadcast side. And, you know, obviously there are a lot of great institutions today that are on the broadcast side that make money and are doing quality journalism. You only have to look at CNN for doing that. But that definitely changed the equation at the broadcast network level, where in the early to mid-80s, a producer was told, you'll never be fired for spending too much money covering a story, but you will be fired if you don't get the story. That dynamic changed. Now, about 10 years later, the focus was cost-cutting to make sure that news was delivered on a budget and that the news was done in a way. Now, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I actually think it was good for our industry to go through that, but it was a big sweeping change. It was a shock to the system. Now we're in an environment where CNN is a huge moneymaker, driven in large part by our digital platforms, where a vast smorgasbord of news is offered up, and where by readership patterns and viewing patterns online, it's possible to predict the kinds of stories and the stories that on any particular day the audiences are engaging with, thus allowing us to focus resources on the television side in meeting those interests and those needs, which allows us to think about covering the news efficiently on the things that people are truly interested in. That doesn't mean to say we don't serve up what people need to have as well as what they want to have. But it does allow us to think about the news in a whole different way and be a very viable economic engine as well as a journalistic one.
Coming a little bit toward more current events, over the past several months, the media, and especially CNN in general, has been kind of attacked by the Trump administration and a lot on the right, and even to the point of being called fake news. So I'm just interested to see how you and your team have responded to that kind of criticism over the past several months.
I think our body of work speaks for itself. We've been doing solid journalism, which has not always been comfortable for the administration. Not all good reporting is not always a pleasant thing if you're on the receiving end of that reporting and you might have something that you're embarrassed by. I feel, and I think all of my CNN colleagues feel, that we are incredibly proud of the work that we've been doing. I think you only have to look at the care that we took in our reporting on, in relation to the documents that were presented to the president and the president-elect about the MI6 former agent's dossier, to look at the great care we took in focusing on the process of that story, the process of that notification, as opposed to reporting on the scurrilous details of that dossier.
Keeping in mind the digital transformations that are going on today, and also the fact that our country is pretty divided when it comes to what is quality media and what is real news even at this point, what advice do you have for soon-to-be journalists and journalism school graduates to really be successful in the broadcast space?
Well, I'd say broadcast, digital space, anything else. I think my advice to journalism students is have an expertise of some kind. If you have the resources to be able to double major, double major. If you can be a biology major and a journalism major, awesome, because it means you have a specific expertise when you get out. You can look at an EPA report. You can look at a report in pollution at a big factory and be able to evaluate it in a meaningful way. You'll be able to look at climate change data and be able to report coherently on climate change data. Likewise, you might have a degree in criminology and journalism and be able to be a really insightful police reporter. Or you might have a law degree and a journalism degree and be an outstanding legal journalist. Having that extra expertise is really what sets people apart. And it's frankly what I look for when I'm hiring. I'm looking for a language, perhaps, at CNN, but I'm also looking at some other kind of expertise you can bring. Then lastly, the key thing is that ability to write, to be able to write engagingly and with precision. That is a fantastic skill, no matter where you are, will always serve you well.
Richard Griffith, thank you so much for being here today.
You are most welcome. I've really enjoyed being at the school today.
Richard Griffith is Vice President and Senior Editorial Director at CNN. Thank you for listening to The Lead. Today's episode was produced by Daniel Funke with special help from Keith Herndon, Director of the Cox Institute at the University of Georgia. For more interviews with media leaders, go to soundcloud.com/theleadpodcast or find us on Twitter at @theleadpodcast. We'll have new episodes every 2 weeks throughout season 2, so follow us to make sure you don't miss a thing.